Okay, so the trip was a family, Mishpachas Zesser, a family trip to many of their ancestors' Kfarim. So I'm going to start our narrative here a little bit into the trip. The first part of the trip, we went on Tisha B'Av from Newark to Munich, and in Munich there's a Beis HaKfaris where the Michtam Eliyahu's grandfather is buried, the Rishol David Dessler, and we went there, and I think it was the first time anyone from the Mishpacha was at the Kever. So that was a Mitzad HaMishpacha, that was our first stop there in Munich. From there, we flew right here, just to give you an idea where we are here. This is Gdansk, Poland, right here with this red thing is here. And that's where we flew from Munich to here, and our point was to get right over here to Kaliningrad. Kaliningrad is a province of Russia at the moment, and it used to be part of Germany. It was called Königsberg. Over there, Rabbi Shaul Salanter is buried. So we took a bus, we got on a bus, and here's the Gdansk airport, and this is the bus that we are going to spend the next 4 days on, 20 hours a day about. And what was supposed to be, according to the map, just 1 second, back to the map, to get from here to here should be about a 2.5 hour drive. But besides that, there was traffic. We didn't cheshbon in borders. You have to cross the border from Poland into Russia, and here's the Polish border. Poland to Russia, and just like you hear all the stories about the Russian border, how they drive you crazy, that's what happened. So the 2.5 hour trip took about 5.5-6 hours, and here is Kiddush Levana at the Russian border as they're waiting for every person to go into a booth, as they check 20 points on your face if it matches your passport, and I don't know exactly what they're looking for, but they finally let us through. And we made it to Kaliningrad. We got into Kaliningrad about, this was Monday night, remember Tisha B'Av was Sunday. We got into Kaliningrad about 11:30 at night to the hotel there, and we went to eat supper, and the next week, by the time we got back to the hotel, it was 1:30, 2 o'clock, and Shacharis was called to 6:10. The next morning, we headed out about 7 o'clock, 7:15, to Rabbi Shaul Salanter's Kever. Now, Rabbi Shaul Salanter's Kever, just to give you a little history of what's going on over here. In Königsberg, on the Baltic Sea, there was a hospital, and the air is good there, a big hospital, and everyone came from all over Europe to go to this hospital. And Rabbi Shaul Salanter, who had been in Paris, living in Paris at the time, he was sick, and he ended up in this place, Königsberg. My Shver's grandmother also went from Slabodka to Königsberg, and she's also buried in this Beis HaKvaris somewhere. Now, the Beis HaKvaris has history to it, as you'll see in the next couple of pictures, but here you get an idea. It's one big forest. It's a gigantic, gigantic area. There's no... Everything here is all Kfarim. Wherever we're all walking here is all Kfarim. There's no way to see what's going on here. And some 20-odd years ago, when the Askanim went there the first time, you couldn't even go in. It was a military installation. They couldn't even get in. Some number of years ago, Reb Nosson Vachfeigel sent a message to Reb Reuven Dessler that we have to find Reb Yisrael Salanter's Kever. At the same time, he got a message from Rav Volba, who told him that there's 2,000 Jews in Kaliningrad who know nothing about Torah, and Rav Yisrael Salanter would say, forget about my kever and spend your money trying to be makar of them. So they made a big Kiruv program, a 3 or 4 day seminar. Rav Shlomo Volba came and other people came to try to be mechazek Torah. Now what happened was that one of these people who was inspired, Elie, is it Einikov? Victor, is it Einikov? No, I'm sure. So he decided, he's from Kaliningrad, and he decided that he wants to find Rabbi Shaul Salanter's Kever. So he ended up in Bnei Brak at the house of the Mashkiach Afanovich, Rabbi Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler, and he said, I want you to fund my finding of Rabbi Shaul Salanter's Kever. I'm going to go look for it. So I think they told him, if you find it, we'll pay for the expenses, but to fund it unended, we're not so sure. He went straight there to the Hebrew University, and he asked them, where's all the stuff that you have from Russia, from Kaliningrad? So they told him the Russian stuff is in the basement. He goes down to the basement, he walks in, and he asks the librarian, whoever's there, where's the stuff from Kaliningrad? She says, see that table over there? All the stuff we have from Kaliningrad is all on the table. We're in the middle of documenting it right now. And on that table, they actually found the bill of sale for Rabbi Shaul Salanter's Matseva, an exact placement of where it was. But next. Now, there's two things. The way it was in Kaliningrad, not every slide is going to take so long, so don't get nervous. But the way it was in Kaliningrad was Kenigsberg was a German place. They were very yekish. No one got a reserved spot in the Beis HaKvaris. The guy who died on Monday got the next available spot. They went in order. Tuesday, Wednesday, they had a chalkas for Rabbanim, but only for Rabbanim in Kenigsberg. So what they did for him was, they gave him a break between his kever and the others of two empty kvarim. So with thermal imaging, they were also able to go over this Beis HaKvaris here and see that the place where the bill of sale showed where Bishal Salanter's kever was actually, there was a space between his and the other kvarim of two spaces. So that was another indicator that this was the right spot. And here you see again, it's all a forest and this whole thing is a Beis HaKvaris. Now this is the wall here of the old Beis HaKvaris that was around it. And you can see on the picture here, they put up a matzeva here, Matzeves, Zikar, Lechol HaYehudim, and Ikvarim, Beis HaKvaris, Mazeh. We don't know who they are. Lezichron Olam, also for all the people in this city who were killed during the war. And it's put up by the Vad, so this was put up a plaque by those Atskanim. Now this is the Matsever of Yisrael Salanter. Now this was about 15 years ago when they put up the Matseva, and they put up a brand new Matseva when they found it. It's all marble with all of this writing on it, but over the last 15 years it's been destroyed. All the marble, you can see here, the edge of the marble has been taken, destroyed by the Goyim. So there's really all that's left is the actual stone Matseva, and you see here, this is the marble here. You see they chiseled away at it, and they took it, and here's the other side with graffiti, and this was the original top, a beautiful all marble all side with the with the nusach on it. So now that was the kever of Yisrael Salanter. At the same time, buried in this, as I said before, buried in this Beis HaKvaris was my shvar's grandmother, Reb Tzin Grzinski, Zichrona Livracha, and also the Baal HaPardes is also somewhere in this Beis HaKvaris. And while we were there, what we did is we said numerous kapitzoch tehillim. This was, although we had been at in Munich the day before, but this was a real emotional, the beginning of the trip was really an emotional maimed over here, and we made a kalmali for Bishol Salanter, and at the same time I asked the mashkiach there also if he could make a mishabeach l'chaylim, and at every place we went we had a mishabeach l'chaylim for many chaylim, including those in our kehila as well, and it was just a really very emotional time. From there we started to go now into the continue our trip to get to Lithuania. So let me just go back a second to our original map. So here we are in Kaliningrad, and we have to get here to Lithuania. So now, well, as we'll see in a moment, basically what we did was, and the way I didn't know that was the Cheshbon, but this is what we did. This little strip here is a national park along the Baltic Sea, and this is where we traveled along this strip to get into to Lithuania, to cross into Lithuania. And as we'll see, there's another map, we'll see exactly where we're going at the time. On the way, we stopped for a couple of moments at the Baltic Sea. There's fresh fish for sale. And here's the Baltic Sea. It was windy, but it was really a gorgeous, I make ice and ice liberations there. It was really a gorgeous place, and you got a feeling of why people who weren't well would come to this area to what's it called. Okay, here we are. Here's the map. Okay, so we're here in Kaliningrad, and we're traveling up here. Now, let me just see what I'm looking at over here. Right over here is Telz. Right over here is Telz, and over here is Kelm. Here is Kovna, and here is Vilna. Our original plan was to go from Kaliningrad to Telz, Kelm, and Kovna, and end up in Vilna all in one day. But Rabbi's Machshavos, as we know, and there's borders. So we got over here to this border, and this was supposed to be an easy border. It only took 3 hours at the end of the day by the time to leave Lithuania, and then we were cautious, maybe there was a strike on the other side because nothing was moving. I mean, to leave Russia was against the ASIC, and then to get into Lithuania. Now, so what happened was, once we crossed over, we realized that we're not going to make it to all the places we have to make. But the first thing is, you'll notice here, it's a little bit hard to see, but you'll notice on the map here, when you get up over here, there's a bit of a problem. You're on this little strip of land, and you got to get to the mainland. they haven't heard about bridges too much yet in Europe. So there was no bridge. There's no bridge. So basically you have to take a ferry. This is the river, the body of water. On the other side is a famous city called Memel. Rebbetzin Rishel Cutler, her family was from Memel. I think Rav Bengus was a Rav in Memel, if I remember correctly. Memel is on the water, also a beautiful place. And basically the bus here went onto the ferry. You see the other ferry with all the cars on it. You go onto the ferry. If you miss the ferry, you got to wait 7 minutes till it goes. 7 minutes till it comes back. Anyone interested in building a bridge there, it probably would be a lucrative investment. Here we are on the, this is from the bus, we're on the thing itself, and now we are going to we cross over, we're now in Lithuania proper, I guess you call it, in Memel. Now because we were late, as you see from the map over here, Telz is very far up here. I think Reb Chaim once told the Skver Rebbe the words, Telz is given gar weit. He said it was very far away from the rest of civilization. So unfortunately, the one thing we had to skip on the entire trip, we did not go to Telz because we wanted to go to Kelm. So from here we crossed and we drove, if I remember, it was like a 2.5 hour drive, Be'erech, to Kelm. Here is the little street, the little city sign on the side of the highway, Kelm, and this is the entrance into Kelm. Now in Kelm, we went to the Beis HaKvaras first, and here you see again a Maseva put up, Beis Ma'il Chalchai, for all the people who were buried here, and those who were killed, the Nazis, and so on and so forth, for all of Lithuanian Judaism, and for Jewry, and Kelm, the Seicham, they were killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, Mitzav Simcha Shel Mitzvah, as we'll talk about in a moment, that they danced to their deaths, at the end of Menachem Av, Tav Shin Aleph, and it was put up, Mishpachas Broidi Ziv, the Einikloch of the Kelmer Mishpachas. So this is at the entrance to the Beis HaKvaras in Kelm. This is not where they killed the Kelmer, the Yeshiva, and the Kedoshim. We'll get to that, but this is the Beis HaKvaras. Now you look at the Beis HaKvaras, and this is how the Lithuanians are all Kvarim here. Some Matzevas are left, some are knocked over. You see all on the floor here, Matzevas. Really a lot of destruction. But one thing about this Beis HaKvaras is that you see it's really not overgrown. It seems to be a bit taken care of. There's a whole mitzvah with that I can't, not going to go into Barichas now, but there is, it's more taken care of. There you see more Matzevas, broken Matzevas. Now, there are three ayos in the Kelm Beis HaKvaras. One of them is the Alta from Kelm, one of them is his Edim, and the third one is Reb Leib Kosted, I think. But they don't know which one is which. In the Mishpach of the Alta from Kelm, they had a thing that they didn't write their names on the Matzevas, if they put up a Matzeva at all. So it's not known which one is which. So here's one of the ayos in there. This is another one. Someone put up a sign here. I think is there another picture of it? Here's another picture. Someone put up a sign that says, here is the kever of Rav Simcha Zisel, the altar from Kelm, and somewhere about his son is here, and his Adam is here as well. It's not clear that this one, which is where it is the altar from Kelm, but someone put it up there. Again, it's one of the three. In fact, there's a third one, it's sort of into a mountain. You see it here, it's on like the side of the hill. And somebody said that they once asked someone who was originally from Kelm, what did you do when you were a kid on Tisha B'Av? So she said, we used to go to the Beis HaKvaras and play. Down from the Beis HaKvaras, she said, there's a little stream of water, which is down towards here where my arrow's going. And she said, as a girl, she said, they always used to say that right up there is the altar from Kelm. So that's why there's a strong chashash that this oil, which is in the side of the hill here, is really the altar from Kelm. But again, it's one of these three oil in here, is the altar from Kelm. So we were there, and again, we said Tehillim, Kaddish was said, and also it was a very, very emotional event for everyone involved, especially the Mishpacha, who are Einikloch from the altar from Kelm, and from various Mishpacha members that are there. From there we went to the place where the Kedoshei Kelm, the Yeshiva and others were killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. They were marched by the Nazis. They went singing Adonai Elam and Asheinu Matei Falkeinu and all different types of things, the Simcha. And this is where this is, and here there's a whatever this is outside of the area. This blue fence, as you'll see, marks off the area. It's a very, very large area, and Holocaust mass graves, and here is the area that's fenced off, and all over here is where the Kedoshei Kelm, again, all of this has bodies under it, all Kvarim, that they were killed by the Nazis. Oh, that's what it was? Men on one side, women on the other? Okay. Now here is the Matseva that's put up there, again, another Kever Achim. This is the big Kever of the Kedoshei Elyon of Kelm that were killed, Akidish Hashem, in Tavshin Aleph, again put up by the Mishpacha. Here is a bigger picture of it, and now, again, just to see how big this area is, it's not so easy to see, but over here in the back here is a hill, and the Nazis stood up here on top of this hill, and all the Yidden were over here, and they just massacred them over here. Now, there's one thing, one second, I'm not going to do much of this, but it's kedai to see here this. So, there's a way, as you'll see here, Reuven Dess is holding two sticks, two metal rods, and as he'll describe, it might be hard to hear, so I'll just describe it. You hold them out parallel to each other, and if they on their own swing together and cross, that indicates that the ground underneath has been disturbed, and there is some kfarim under there. If they go back separate, that means that there's nothing there, the ground has not been disturbed, or there's a wall or something else. So here you can just, what? I'm sorry?
It's called prospecting?
Okay, it's called prospecting. Yiddish, they call it shtekin. Okay, so here you'll see, I don't know how it works.
Find water that fails.
With water?
You find water.
Okay. See, the whole way through this whole area keeps on crossing. See, the magnitude of how many Yidden, I don't know what the numbers were killed there, but it's such a big area, and everywhere it goes over to the other side of the fence, the Taka doesn't cross over there. It's not a right that the fence is in the right spot, but it just happens to be over there. So that is, let's get out of here. Okay, so that was, we'll get back to that later. So this is here is the Kever Achim of Kelm. From there, we had to skip Kovna, and we went straight to Vilna. We got into Vilna about midnight, had something to eat, 2:30, what?
Tuesday night.
This is, what night are we at? Tuesday night we got into Vilna, we went out, there was a restaurant that stayed open for us, by the time we got back to the hotel, it was about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and, at 5:40, there was a wake-up call in every room, ordered by Mr. Dessler, for everyone to get up for Shacharis. We had to be on the bus at 6 o'clock to go to the main Vilna shul for Shacharis. This is the main shul in Vilna, beautiful shul from the outside and from the inside. Another picture of it. Now, it's interesting, just cute to read this. It says, the shul Taras HaKadosh, The Misnagdim, Noch Folger from Vilna Gaon, the Misnagdim who followed the Vilna Gaon, they built it in 1903. So the real Misnagdish Shul here, not the Vilna was all Misnagdim, but it's interesting how they put that plaque up there. This is the inside of the shul. You stand up, it's a beautiful shul. Here's another picture. Whoever the Rav who would speak would stand here. And there's the Amud. We'll get to that in a second. Okay, so that was the show with Davin Shachris. Now upstairs in Ezra's Nashim is an old matzah baking machine here. I don't know exactly where you start and where you end, but this was the machine up there that they must have used for the matzah baking. Now, here's the plaque on the shul, and the plaque says, until World War II, there was a large Jewish community. There were more than 100 synagogues in Vilna. It's called Yerushalayim Shalita, and now there's only one synagogue left, built in 1903, and that is the one that we were just in. So it's the last remaining shul of over 100 shuls that were in Vilna at the turn of the century. Okay, from there we went to the Kever of Baruch Ber. So, now, this is the old Beit HaKvaris in Vilna, or one of the old Beit HaKvaris in Vilna, that they decided to used for building. Now this road here and this building is all on the Beis HaKvaris. This on the right side here is the hill up to the Beis HaKvaris, but it had continued, and they, when the city decided to use it, they destroyed all these kvarim. Some were moved over, as we'll see, and they built on it. And the left, and on this side, the right side, there's still some of it left. Now there's a whole famous story happened a couple years ago with the kever of Baruch Ber. Baruch Ber was nifter in Vilna in 1939 or something, early, right before the war, at the beginning of the war in Poland in 1940, that neighborhood, and there was no room in his old Beis HaKvaris, but he wanted to be buried near his father. So Chaim Moses said they should find a spot for him. So they found a spot right near his father, and it was right at the edge, there was a path there, and the only way they were able to build him, to bury him, was in a different direction than the rest of the kvaris. All the rest of the kvaris were going east to west, let's say, and they were able to bury him the other way, so he should be near his father. But they never put up a matseva, it was wartime, and no one really knew where his kever was. 2 years ago, there was a maisa with a girl who said something derogatory, and she got palsy, and there was the impetus to try to find again Reb Baruch Ber's kever. They found people who remembered the Levaya, there were two or three people left, and again, using infrared, they were able to see that there was one kever going the wrong direction. And as you'll notice, it's mamish at the edge of the hill here, because this was like the end. After this, things were gone. And that's why this piece over here, as you'll see, is just a big slab of cement to hold up the matzeva, because if not, it's going to fall, because it's mamish at the edge here of this old Beis HaKvaris. Here is the matzeva they put up, Rabbi Maran Shal Yisrael, Reb Baruch Ber. Here is a side view. This is the kever going the opposite direction. Again, there's no kfarm really to see over here. And here we are on the bottom of the hill saying the Tehillim. Again, there's a Kalmali made. And the Mishaberach L'chaylim. Here is another view of it again. But you can see this here, all this area here, we were standing. This is all part of the old Beis HaKvaris that we were standing on. From there we went to the new Beis HaKvaris in Vilna. There's actually two old Beis HaKvaris. There was one where the Vilna Gaon was, which has a stadium on it now. And then there was the one that we just had with Reb Baruch Ber. And this is the new Beis HaKvaris in Vilna. And here is a Maseva to the Kedoshi HaGeto in Vilna that were killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. And they, so this, I don't know if there's any bones here or it's just a Maseva, but this is at the entrance here to the, or at the beginning of the Beis HaKvaris. And here you go, this is the Vilna Gaon's Ayil. Now the Vilna Gaon, as I said before, was built, buried in a different cemetery. There's a stadium there now, and they brought over his atzamas together with, as you see, the Ayil of the Gra, Rabbi Yoel Mivilna. There's also the Afer of the Ger Tzedek, who was buried near Avram and Avram, who was buried near the Vilna Gaon. There's two other kfarim in this Ayil. It's hard to see here, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm not sure who the other two were. I don't know if it was one with his brother, maybe. I'm not sure who the fourth one was. But what?
They were brought over
in the 70s. So Meister, Pinchas Teitz was one of those. I think it was in the 70s. There was a Meister in the days of Chaim Moser. They wanted to build the stadium, and he was able to stop it. Later on, they built it through Pinchas Teitz, and it was a whole thing. Who's gonna move the Gaon's Atzamas? The Gaon's goof. What?
Brother or uncle.
I was also involved, yeah. And the Gaon's goof was completely shalem, and except for one of the people who, anyone involved in it was nifter during the year. Some say they looked at his face and the last one turned away. Others say the whole story is Baba Maisa. That's true, they all died, but someone said they all had a reason. This one was sick, this one was old, this one was this, this one that. But it's old cloud. When you have a chazaka, the whole part of chazaka is when you have one teretz that answers everything, it's a better teretz. So I don't know, who knows. Baba Maisa, they were moved over. Here is a picture again of the oil. Now, you'll notice over here on the side is a kever of Rabbi Shifrin. This is Moshe Berger, Moshe Yitzchak Berger's uncle, who was a rav in Vilna after the war. It says, I think, Tafshin Yud Beis or Tafshin Yud Gimel, he was nifter. And he was the first kever right after the Vilna Gaon's oil over here. And this is the oil of the Vilna Gaon. Okay, now we come here. This is the oil that's put over Reb Chaim Moser's kvar. Now, Reb Chaim Moser was also in the old Beis HaKvaris. And again, they brought him over as well as things were destroyed. Here we have Pai Nitzman, Reb Chaim Moser, Vilna, Nistalik, Ches Menachemov. And then it says his atamas were brought from the Beis HaKvaris, from the old Beis HaKvaris, together with the three kvarim that were near him. And you see here, you have his brother, here's a Chaim Eizer, his daughter who is Nifter Young, and his wife, and his Revitzin. So these are the four kvarim here in this net aisle. Now here you have Ravitzel Panovitcher. Ravitzel Panovitcher also was says he was Nifter in Panovich, and his bones were brought over to Vilna in 1969. And Panovich was being destroyed, so they brought over his Atzamas to Vilna. This one also was brought over, but I'm not sure who it was. It's together here with Ravitzel Panovitcher. Then there is someone called the Yanav Arav. There's a sefer you might know called the Mekar Baruch, which was of Chaim Stein's uncle. His name was also Yanav Arav. He was a Rav in Yanav. And this was the Yanav Arav before him. His name was Chaim Tzitzilman. And if you just read his Matseva here, he says he was a buck in Bavli, Yerushalmi, Safra, Sifri, Rishainim, Vachrainim. That really sums it up. And he was also a Reidik Stock of a Chesed. So he was buried over here. Tafresh Sadi. I'm not sure how he got from Yanav to Vilna. I don't know the history behind it, but it's not far from each other? No? Okay, so I guess so that's why he's there. Okay, then from there we were heading out to Kovna. Now on the way we passed by this. The balcony here is the apartment of Rav Chaim Eizer. This was the center of Judaism. Rav Chaim Eizer was the Rabban Shel Kol Bnei Hagoyla, and everyone would come here. It was an open house. And here, this second floor apartment, this was his apartment, Rav Chaim Eizer's apartment. Okay, now just to see the map over here. We had been in Kelm, as we saw, and we had to skip Kovna to come to Vilna, so we had to go back now here to Kovna. Here's Kovna. So we went back, it was about an hour and a half ride back to Kovna. In Kovna, we first went to the new Beis HaKvaris. This is the new Beis HaKvaris, as we'll see. And in the new Beis HaKvaris, there's older parts and newer parts. And this is parts here from the times right after the war, all the way until this year of 2016. There's Kvarim there. Now, in the new Beis HaKvaris is the Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram was a Rav in Kovna, and he was in the Kovna ghetto, and he was Nifter in the Kovna ghetto in 1943. It was a big clap for the Yidden in the ghetto, and they risked their lives by having a big levaya for him because the Nazis could do anything. But as they did some research on it, they were no one dared. They wrote in the biographies, no one dared ask for Rishus to bury him outside the ghetto in the old Beis HaKvaris, as we'll see. So they buried him on the edge of the ghetto in this Beis HaKvaris, and it seems that the Matseva was put up after the war. But this was, maybe this was the beginning of the Beis HaKvaris, I don't know. So the Dvar Avram was buried there. As we'll talk about in a moment, my Shver Zayda, the Teres Avram, Avram Grzinski, the Mashkiach in Slabodka, so when the Dvar Avram was Nifter, they were the two leaders of the Kovna ghetto with Gedolim. He had terrible foot problems, he couldn't walk, and he wanted to go to the Levaya, they had to find him a wheelchair or a wagon to take him, and he wanted to go, and he asked to go into the house before they take him out for the Levaya. And they asked him why, and he said that the Teres Avram, if anyone ever learned his Sefer, the Musa Sefer, he has a whole Marach about 10 Shmuzim about Yisurim. One of his big things was Yisurim. Some say he didn't get remarried after his wife was Nifter, left him over with a whole bunch of kids. My uncle Yitzhak Grzinski, who comes here, was 2.5 years old. Some say that the reason he never got remarried is because he wanted to live a life of Yisurim. He never got remarried. His in-laws thought it was because they were in Slabodka. His in-laws were, his father was a Mashkiach also in Slabodka. So in-laws picked themselves up and moved to Eretz Yisrael just in case that was the reason why he didn't want to get remarried, because they were there. So they moved away. Now he went in and he said, why do I want to see the Dvar Avram? He said, because I heard at the end of his life he was a big Baal Yisurim. I want to see it with my own eyes, and in that way his stature in my eyes will be elevated. It's a pelvic thing to say. About Dvar Avram was the God Adar, and Dvar Avram was saying, if I see him in a massive of Yisurim, he'll be elevated in my eyes. That's the Dvar Avram. And right next to it is the oil for a Baruch Arvitz, who was a Rebbe in the Slabodka Yeshiva. And he was Nifter earlier, so I guess this wasn't the beginning, because this is Tafresh Sadi Vav. This wasn't the beginning here. Dvar Avram wasn't the first one in there. And there's the Isle of the Rebbe Acharowitz right next to the Rebbe Avram. Now from over there we moved to the Isle of Rabbi Yitzchak HaKohen Spector, who was in the old Beis HaKvaris in Kavna and was moved over to this newer Beis HaKvaris. And here's an Isle. He's in there. I think his son is in there as well. Here, this is his, and I think this is his son here. On the outskirts over there, there's a matseva. And there's a matseva to those, it's hard to see, there's a big glare here, but to those who were killed in the Kovna ghetto. Now, if you read the history of the Kovna ghetto, the Nazis, what they did was, at the end of the ghetto, they burned down the whole place. The Mordechai Zuckerman, Zichrono Livracha, was in the Kovna ghetto the whole time after the war, went and dug people out from all of the places as much as he could to bring them to Kavri Yisrael. But it seems they came to him and the Kovna ghetto was left destroyed for till the 60s or the 70s, I think it says here, 1970 something. It was just a churban, and then they decided to do things over there and to build it back up, and they found bones there, and they went to Mordechai Zuckerman, and he said, it's not shayach. He says, I worked for a couple of years, and I got everyone out. Maybe people who were hidden in walls and bunkers, he says, but it's very few and far between. But Lemaisa, what they did was, they brought over all bones and ashes or whatever they found there. Now my Shver's grandfather, Teres Avram, was burnt down in the hospital. The Nazis burnt it down. So every place that they found, they brought that summers here to this new Beis HaKvaris. They buried them here, and they put up a matseva. Then we went to the old Beis HaKvaris, Beis Alman HaYashin in Kelm. And this place is unfortunately, although it has a gate around it, it's totally, we'll see, Mamish Churban. The Tzadokhan used to be here. Now the Panovich Mashkiach, who was with us, Rabbi Roli Azadetzler, his grandfather is buried here somewhere. All they knew was that he's near where Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was. We spent about a half hour, and the Rabbi Simcha Dessler's twins were picking up matzevas and trying to look all over the place to see if we could find it. Here is, we'll see some more of the destruction in a moment. Here is a matzeva they put up for those who were killed by the Nazis on the bridge to Slabodka. We'll see that in a moment. Slabodka was a little a suburb of Kovna, and this was, I guess, there were the Nazis that killed them on the bridge there, and this was a Feinitzman. It sounds like they were actually buried here, their bones were buried here. Here you see the Churban here in this old Beit HaKvaris. Things are mamish destroyed. It's like you see over here, mamish. Now over here they found the matseva of Chaim Pelzer. This is another picture here. Rav Chaim Sholem Tuvia, his name was Rabinowitz, who was Rav Chaim Pelzer. The matseva is here on the floor, broken. Oops. And they don't know exactly where he's buried or where it came from because there's such destruction over here. So Lemaisa, here it is. This is the matseva of Chaim Pelzer. Tells he was a Ram and tells Kof of Shana. Here it's Sarev Ramim, Yeshiva Slavodka, it tells. So this is his matseva over here.
1990, you found it.
Like, you found it there. They were just walking around.
Half was on one side.
Oh, does it happen? So you brought it over. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And still sitting in the same place. Okay, so that's Rav Chaim, who told me? Someone told me that when Rav Moshe Tuvia Lee first came to Cleveland, Rav Aron used to call him Sholem Tuvia. They no one could ever figure out why. It seems his Rav, Rav Chaim tells his name was Sholem Tuvia. So in his mind, it wasn't Moshe Tuvia, it was Sholem Tuvia. So here's a picture, I think somebody told me. Here's a picture of the shul in Kovna. We just passed by it, similar to the shul in Vilna inside. We just passed by it again. We were now very behind our schedule, Baruch Hashem, and so we just passed by. Now we went to where the Kovna ghetto was. This is the little matseva here at the entrance to the Kovna ghetto. This is the Slabodka Yeshiva building in the ghetto. There was an old building that was outside the ghetto. When they moved into the ghetto, this was the building that the yeshiva used. Now, there's a famous house there, and this is the house of my Shver Zeda. This is the house of the Teres Avram. It was owned by his Shver, the Hellers. And in this house, Rabbi Rachel Cutler and her family, the Friedmans, who had moved from Memel, they rented a house from my Shver Zeda, from the Teres. They rented a room, upstairs from the Teres Avram, 9 Panero. And when the Nazis came in, and there were pogroms and things like that, all the B'nai HaYeshivas congregated in this house. and including Rabbi Chanan, who happened to have been in Kovna at the time. And they were all learning here in this house, and all, Rabbi Tzvalba in her book describes it, all three floors of the house were just Bakrim and Rabbanim sitting and learning while there was danger outside. Now, from this house, during the pogrom, they heard the Litvisha, as they were coming to kill people, say, "Don't touch this house, this is the house of the Rav." And they didn't, they spared it. But a few days later, in Tammuz, that was the beginning of Tammuz, in Yud Aleph Tammuz in Tavshin Aleph, a bunch of ruffians came in, and they decided that they're going to take Rav Chanan with another 12 Bachram there, including one of the Teres Avram's son Ze'ev, who was taken along, and they were going to take them out to kill them. So this was the very famous house. If you see over here, right, it's construction next door. So the tour guide claims that this house may not be around much longer, because Huna is their building and destroying things over here. But this was a very, very famous house. Now, this is a famous bridge. We're going to get to where Rabbi Chanan was killed. There's a very famous bridge between Kovna and Slabodka. Again, Slabodka actually in Litvish means, I think, a suburb. And there was this river here, and this was the bridge that, as we saw before, that the Nazis killed all the Yidden on. And in the winter, this would freeze over, and you're able to walk over the river. And actually, as I mentioned before, the Teres Avram's Rebbetzin, who was Nifter in Königsberg and buried there where Michelle Talanter is, she was very sick, and they had to take her from Slobodka to Kovna to get on the train to take her to the hospital in Königsberg. The Bachram carried her bed, her in her sick bed, over this frozen river. Rabbi Munk's father was one of those Bachram who actually carried the Rebbetzin's bed over the thing, over this river to Kovna to go on the train. And this is the seventh fort. Outside of Kovna were forts that were built at the end of the 1800s, 1900s by the Russians. And there's the ninth fort where thousands of Yidden were killed. And this is the seventh fort where Rabbi Chanan was taken with those 12 Bachrim. There were other Yidden there as well already. They had congregated a couple, 2,000 Yidden over there, men and women. The women they ended up letting go from the 7th fort, but the men they ended up all killing. And this is the area where they killed them. They lined them up here, I think, in this area and against this fence, and they killed them, and they shot them and killed them over here. Just, it's kedai to see where was I here? The one thing here was, here, just kedai to see the Kalmali. It was pouring rain, mamish pouring rain. So that was Rabbi Chanan. Okay, from there, here we are in Kovna, and now we have to go down and cross out of Lithuania into Belarus. Now Belarus, all the other borders took 3 hours that we didn't know. This one we knew was going to take a long time. Belarus is like the old USSR. Everything's owned by the government, socialist, and it's a real tough place. So we had to go here. Again, we were originally supposed to go from Vilna down here. Now we're going from Kovna. As you see, it's a nice 2.5 hour drive. And we got to the border there. And again, it took us 3 hours in the border. And our right over here, you can see this over here is Aishishik. There was a famous town, Litvisha town, Aishishik. And on the other side here, Belarus is Radin. It's about a half hour into the trip. And now we're holding, what day are we on? Wednesday? Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening, we crossed into Belarus. And we got to the Radin. This is the Radin Yeshiva at about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, maybe a little later. And this is outside, and here's the building again. And we dive in this inside. We dive in Ma'ariv in the Beis HaMedrash of the Radin Yeshiva. The original Beis HaMedrash, this wall wasn't there. It was one big room. But now this is what's left of it. And we were able, I don't know what it's used for now, if it's used at all. the cultural center still?
Disco/culture center.
Right. Okay. So this is, we davened Meirav over there, and then we went to the kever of the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim's house is no longer in Radin, it's in Muncie, if anyone wants to go and see it. They dismantled it and brought it to Muncie. But here, yeah, but here's the Chofetz Chaim's kever. It has this, gazebo over it. And here we have, we were there about 11:30 at night, Chofetz Chaim's kever. And it was pitch black, and to get to the kever you have to walk also through grass and a forest, which is all part of the old Beis HaKfaris. This is not, again, you're walking over Kfarim, but this is a big matzev over here, the Chofetz Chaim, and a little bit of a lighter picture of it. Next to it, a few over is Rav Moshe Lindinsky. Right, so Mr. Hitzinger was a Talmud of the son of Rav Moshe Lindinsky in England. What was his first name? David Lindinsky. Rav Moshe Lindinsky was going out there. He was actually, the Chofetz Chaim wasn't the Reshiva in Radin. He wasn't anything for that matter. He didn't have any official title, but Rav Moshe Lindinsky was the Reshiva in Radin. He was a Bucky, and he was a going out there. And that's his cover. And next to it is the Granat, Rav Naftali Trupp, who was also a Reshiva in Radin, and there's a couple other Kvarim in the neighborhood as well. And this was a very also, there's a video of it, but the idea here, we were 11:30 at night, it's pitch black, and we were all saying Tillim together, Shir HaMalas, it was like the Kohram. It was a very, very emotional experience here. So here's again a picture. Now this interesting thing, I don't think anyone in the group is aiming on this, but if you remember a couple years ago, Dirshu decided, they made a siyum on their Mishabura Yaimi, and they made a new cycle, and anyone who signed up to learn Mishabura a day with the Dirshu schedule, they got their name written in a book, and they put it here in a box right next to the Chofetz Chaim's kever, Sefer Kibayrim, Daf Yaimi Ba'alacha, and that was on the other side of the Matseva. Okay, so now we left Radin. Where am I here? This is Radin right here. And now we're heading towards Valozhin. This is Valozhin area. You see it says Valozhin here. You can see. And on our way to Minsk. So Valozhin, we got to Valozhin at about a little bit after 1 a.m. And here is the building of the Valozhin Yeshiva. And here is a plaque on it. It says this is the yeshiva of Chaim Volozhiner, Eim HaYeshivas, the mother of all our yeshivas today, are all from this yeshiva of Chaim Volozhiner's yeshiva. Now, from there, you go to the Beis HaKfaris, which is also, again, it was about 1:30 in the morning here, and I think we woke up the town and the neighborhood, started hearing those Litvish dogs barking away, and but again, it was pitch black, and you had to walk through the Beis HaKfaris. Here, there were actually some matzevas to trip over, unfortunately, that were still kayim, and on a pedestal here is the kever of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, plus a couple other, I think his son Rabitzula, we weren't sure who the other two were. And there's the Matseva for Rav Chaim, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Abbezin Volozhin, Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. He was nifted in the year Tuf Kuf, Pei Aleph. So again, we said, you know, the Kol Ram, we said the Tehillim together, Shamalis and Shalamalis, and it was also, although it was 1:30 in the morning, and my wife says she saw the pictures coming in, there was a chat that all the ladies were able to see pictures come in. She says, you look a little tired there in that picture, but it was an exhausting day, but it was still an unbelievable experience. Okay, from there, from Valozhin, which was over here in this neighborhood, we traveled to Minsk. We got into Minsk at 3 a.m. On the way, there was a camp, as we'll talk about in a second, that's outside of Minsk, Stalinmer camp. So they met us on the road from Volozhin to Minsk, and they brought us chicken and potatoes, and we ate supper at about 2 o'clock. There was a whole assembly line on the bus as we traveled to have some food. We got to Minsk 3 a.m. Now, everyone had to rest. I mean, everyone. But the bus drivers had to rest, and the bus, I think, had to rest. So the next morning, we had a little bit of a later start. And the goal was to get over here to Mir, to Kletsk, and then back up to, we went to the camp, which is in this neighborhood, and then on Borisov, as we'll see in a moment, and back to Minsk all on this day. So this is Thursday morning. Thursday morning, about 12 o'clock, we set out on the bus to Mir.
8:30
was Shachris. Yes, 8:30 was Shachris. Yeah, so most people made it. We went to Mir. This is the Mir Yeshiva building. The Mir Yeshiva building, different angles of it. This is the back of it. Now, in the Meir Yeshiva building right now is actually a post office. So we'll see in a moment. I'll show you here. This is a stamp. Now, in Belarus, see, in all the other places in Europe, they use the same, in Rafal, probably you understand this, but they use the same alphabet as we do. So, you know, Gdansk, you can figure out certain things. When you get to Belarus, it's a whole new alphabet. You don't know where you're going coming. But MIT is Meir. That one's pretty easy. But the rest of this, if you can read it, I don't know. But this was, we got to see, it is a stamp from the post office in the Meir Yeshiva building that, you know, we asked the lady to know what to do with us, but everyone wanted stamps. So anyway, I actually got postcards there, postcards from Meir with the stamp on it and stamps. So I'm not sure what to do with them yet. But anyways, in the back here, is up here on the second floor was the room of Rabbi Yochum Lubavitch, the Mashkiach of Meir. And actually, this is his great-grandson, Nassim Yaakov Lubavitch, Reuven Dastu's son-in-law, and he actually went up and knocked on the door. He wanted to get in to see if he could see the room. They didn't answer, and I think it's Yadua, they're not happy with visitors, as opposed to other places, they're not so unhappy with visitors, but here they're not so welcoming. So this was the, what's it called? This is supposedly, according to the tour guide, the house of the Rav of Meir, which someone pointed out, interestingly enough, and this was the way it was in Kalm, all the Jewish houses, the front doors never opened to the street, like Mitzad Atzniyah, so it was always into the chaser. So here is like the back of the house to the street. Here is, this is the, I went around to the front, I wanted to see if maybe there was a mezuzah on the door. I couldn't find any like indentation or anything. I did rip my pants here, so I might be the only person to say they ripped their pants in the Meir Rav's house in many years. This supposedly is the shul. It's hard to know. The local said one shul was for men, one shul was for women, so I'm not sure they really know what was going on. It seems this might have been the shul. Now this is the Beis HaKvaris. The Beis HaKvaris has a big gate around it, but as we'll see, it's Masev is again all over the place, and it's overgrown. Mamish overgrown, except for one path that they have someone hired to make to get to Rabbi Yeruchim's kever. And here's the kever of Yeruchim Lubavitch, who's nifter in Tav Reish Tav Yivav, 1936. They also put a little plaque here for his children and his wife that were killed al Kiddush Hashem. That seems to have been cracked, as you see here. And here it's on a little pedestal. There were people who remembered Rabbi Yochum Lubavitch's Levaya when they put up this Matseva, and this Matseva here I think was one of the Simanim. They had known, that's how they knew where his thing was, and they put up this this Matseva here, and this on the side here it says Rabbeinu Yochum Halevi. From there, as you saw on the map, we went down to Kletsk. We had with us also Schneur Cutler, who is the great-grandson of Rabaran. So this is the building of the Kletsk Yeshiva in Kletsk, still standing. This is, next door is Rabaran's house. Still exists. Rabaran's house, as you'll see in a second. Here's the lady who lives in the house. She is not from Rabaran's days, but she does know that this is a famous house because she opens the door and she goes, Aron Cutler, Aron Cutler. So those are the two English words she knew. So she let us into the house. There's pictures of it. Nothing really. It looks like a bungalow. Tiny little thing. She has a big screen TV and a laptop, but she only has an outhouse. This might have been Rabaran's bathroom here. We're not sure if it's the original one or not, but this was the outhouse there. There's supposedly a lady who lives next door to that, two doors down. Some people said that there were people there Pesach time. She claims she remembers her baron, but she wasn't around. I think someone knocked on her door. Another lady who just doesn't get a lot of attention came out, and she started talking and talking. She didn't really remember much. She said she was 10 years old. She remembered there was a yeshiva. She remembered Sukkot a little bit, but what she kept on remembering was where the ghetto started and how they killed the Jews. The Rav went at the head of the procession, and they took him to the Kevarachim. That was the one clear memory that she had. This is Schneur Cutler, and I have also about 8 or 9 minutes of video of her talking in Belarusian about what happened, and we had a translator saying sort of what was going on, but that was her. Here in the Kletzker Beis HaKvaris, the Lakewood Yeshiva last year went with the Board of Governors, and they put up a maseva to those who were killed, the Kedosh Kletzk, who were killed here in Kletzk. From there we headed back towards Minsk, and on the way We stopped in a place called Borisov. Borisov is officially a suburb of Minsk, even though it's about an hour from Minsk proper. And we're trying to find the kever of the Minsker Gadol. He has a sefer called Ar Gadol. If you ever look at the Yochanan Bayez Mishnayis, one of the Perushim on the side is the Ar Gadol. The Minsker Gadol, he was called. And he's buried here in Borisov. We first went to one Beis Akvaris. We searched. It was the wrong place. We picked up a local who took us on a 15-minute drive to this Beis Akvaris. We still couldn't find it. Till the mice of the tour guide ended up finding it in the corner here. There's three Matsevas here. This one over here is the Minsker Gadol. Meant a lot to Reb Reuven Dessler because he had some letters that the Minsker Gadol had written for Tel Yeshiva and other things, and it meant a lot for him that we were there. Baruch Hashem, again about 10 o'clock at night, it's 10:15 or something, 10:30 maybe. We were in this pitch black Beis Akvaris. You see, we all have our phones and flashlights and stuff, and we were able to find. This is Gluskin here, so I don't know who it was. There are a couple different kvarim here, old kvarim, and we were able to go there. From there, we went to this camp. Oh really? And to who? Of who? Of the Minsker Gadol? Earlier. Oh, I didn't have this again. From there we went to this camp that had provided us the food, and there was a chasana that night of two graduates of the camp, and we ate supper there, and we danced around over there, and then we headed back to Minsk, and we arrived in Minsk 1 a.m., and we had to be on the bus 2:15 a.m. to go back to the airport. This is Thursday, middle of the night. We went back to the airport, and that was it. The group split up then. Most of the group flew from Minsk to Vienna, and from there to Newark, and they were there in America. Myself and Chaim Dessler flew from Minsk to Frankfurt. He then flew on to Boston, I flew to Chicago, and then to Cleveland. In Frankfurt, I had a driver waiting for me, I had a 3-hour stopover, waiting for me outside, and he took me to two Beit HaKvarzes in Frankfurt. Now here, we're going up to this is the wall of the Beit HaKvarzes in a moment. This here is the boundary of the old shul in Frankfurt. This is, they have it like, you see the foundation of it. And here's the entrance to the Beit HaChaim, and here is the plaque that they put up, that it says, here stood this shul, which was destroyed by Nazi criminals, 9th day of November, 1938. That's enough, yeah. This is the old Beit HaKvaris in Frankfurt. This is the Chalkas HaRabbanim here. As we'll see, a lot of it was destroyed, and a lot of Matzevers are destroyed, but here's the Chalkas HaRabbanim. Somewhere here is the Maram Shift. They put up a thing here that somewhere in this Beit HaKvaris is the Maram Shift. Over here is the Pnei Yeshua. This is the Pnei Yeshua's kever. This is Reb Nosson Adler's kever. And this is the Hafla's kever. All near each other in the Chalkas Rabbanim. Now, as you'll see, what they did was, after the war, they found matzevas and they put them sort of back together and they hung them on the wall there as things that they put together. But as you can see, these are all matzevas here piled up. In the background, there's some more. These were all kfarim here. In the same Beis HaKvaris, is more, they just put them on the side here. Same Beis HaKvaris is the kever of the mother of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer's mother, Reizela, Asher Yelanta, Shalei Baishta, Tiknasa, Ima Shalmar, and Chassam Sofer. She was Nifter in Tuf Kuf Hei Beis. And that's in the old Beis HaKvaris. From there, we still had a couple of minutes, so we went to the newer Beis HaKvaris, where Absham Shafal Hirsch is. Now, as you walk through the Beis HaKvaris, you come to a wall. And they're mazvit to me that Rav Sham Shaval Hirsch was fighting against reform. He said that our kehillah is not going to be buried in the same Beis HaKvaris as everybody else. So they put up a brick wall straight across the Beis HaKvaris, and they're on the other side, and everyone else is on this side. Now there's already an opening because they made it one Beis HaKvaris, but in his days, as you'll see here, this was actually the door, this is the wall, there was a separate entrance, it was a total separate place. He said his fight against the reform was so strong, had nothing to do with that. Here is the kvarim of Reb Sham Shmuel Hirsch and his rabbitin. There's another picture here as well. Sham Shmuel Hirsch, Avdez and Tequila Seinu. And as the tour guide pointed out to us, when you look over this big Beis HaKvaris there, Sham Shmuel Hirsch was running for the rabbinate over there the first time. I think 14 families voted for him. And now you look at the kehillah of how many people are just in the Beis HaKvaris, what he built up as he fought for the Emes of Torah and German Judaism in America as well, what one person was able to accomplish against all odds. So this is Rav Chaim Shaphal Hirsch's kever, and in the same place there is also the kever of one of the Stalner Rebbes, is called the Yanuka. And this is a lot of Stalner Chassidim come over. As you see, it's a well-attended kever here. It seems like, you see these metal bars here, they cordoned off. I guess they gave him a big spot here because he was a Rebbe, and that was his. From there, it's pretty much the end. From there, the guy took me back to the airport. I told him I want to be back at 9:15 because I heard security was a problem in Frankfurt. So he said, we're going to go on the Autobahn. He had a brand new BMW. This guy didn't let any luggage in the back seat, only in the trunk, so he shouldn't scratch his seats. And he took us 200 kilometers per hour, figured that out, and we made it, Baruch Hashem. He said, you want a 9:15? It's 9:15, and Baruch Hashem, with a lot of nisim, I made it back to Cleveland. My flight from Chicago, as many of you know, was the only flight of the entire day that was not delayed 4 hours. So Baruch Hashem, we made it back. Wow. And this was the end of the trip. And like I say, to sum it up, what we did in 4 days, I think Reuven made a cheshbon that sleeping in the hotel, we slept over those 4 days a total of 10.5 to 11 hours. The rest of the time was on the bus. Now, we slept on the bus. He worked, so that was a little different. He was working most of the time, but Lamaisa, it wasn't the... it was on his phone and all was up. And yeah, so it wasn't, like we said, we weren't there for the food and we weren't there for the sleep. It was really an unbelievable experience and a real aliyah baruchni to see all these places, not just in black and white and pictures. We saw them in color, and to be mitzvah, and we had daf yomi on the bus every day. And lemaisa, it was just a real unbelievable experience, and to be able to be mitzvah with all these places, and the shivizaycha that to see you know. Haramas Karen Yisrael Bekara, which we zeicha, Tiasameis, Mashiach, Tikeinu, Vimhev Yomei.